Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Horrible Podcast. I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Drew.
I'm Lynn.
And welcome for another We Survived Halloween episode.
Yes, we did.
We made it. We weren't taken down by Pinhead or Chucky.
I don't want to brag, but I ran a successful film festival on
Halloween. Nice.
Nice. Talk about it. How did it go?
I left. It started early Friday morning when I got a text from Alex Cuervo, if you've listened to the podcast, of Expectrostatic.
Is that Jose's nephew?
Yes. He actually is heir to the Jose Cuervo fortune.
Wow.
Are you drinking a Creature Comforts there, Tyler?
If Creature Comforts is Kroger brand sparkling seltzer water.
I recognize that can.
Friday morning he goes, dude, I'm on the interstate. It's raining so hard. I just got passed by a search and rescue boat. As the day progressed, apparently Austin got hit by some terrible storms. Like they tore through mid Texas. Yeah. Long story short, 10 o'clock our time. He calls me. He's like, dude, they just turned the plane around. I have to, disembarking?
Landing.
Yeah.
Disembarking.
They disembarked in Austin, and I told him, like, that's it. Don't try to, like, get on a plane tomorrow morning like that. Just, we'll call it. You've done due diligence in trying to get here. So, yeah. That happened, and then we couldn't get one of the guys who's supposed to bring a 35mm print from Bleeding Skull, Dangerous Men, couldn't make it because he was from Austin. Then IFC Midnight could not seem to get the print of Hellions to us in time.
You're okay there.
So it was supposed to play at 4 at 1:30. It arrived, and then it takes a couple hours to ingest the DCP into the theater system, and then halfway through it failed. So yeah. It was, you know, we had all the major problems of a zoo combined with a theme park.
It's kind of funny because you were just talking about that last week with the Colorado Horror Con and Halloween Film Festival guys. Like, everything that can go wrong will go wrong. So you just smile. You just be a nice person. And
we made an immediate purchase of walkie-talkies. Because we realized, like, man, this texting shit is just not doing, like, because you won't feel the phone go off because we're running around in the theater. But Lona, you were there. Did it seem like we were on, everything was on fire at all times?
Yes.
Oh, okay. our stores
no,
are not.
No, awesome. I had no clue. I had no clue except for the wild fear in your eyes.
I imagine Deathgasm went over well with the crowd, though.
It
was fun just watching by myself, too.
Dangerous Men from Bleeding Skull is batshit crazy.
It is my favorite thing ever.
Wow. Yeah.
I want that in a loop behind me for the rest of my life.
We don't need that now, though, because I'd just watch it. It would be the problem.
Wow.
To the podcast, I'd be like...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you would.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
You'd start so like... Eat that. I only watch like 5 minutes, and then you'd be like, oh shit. And then like an hour has gone by, and you're like, oh.
I actually just want the baseline from that film following me around everywhere I go.
I want the baseline from that film. And how about the soundtrack from our film tonight, guys? That was pretty amazing.
Pretty sweet.
Pretty yeah. Great soundtrack.
Well, occasionally, it was weird. It was like it didn't have a soundtrack. And then when it did, or at least when I noticed it, it was fantastic.
And then
it didn't have one.
That I think that works, though. Like, I also didn't notice it. But then I'd be like, oh, man, this is awesome. And then it'd go away, and I'd forget about it. And then it happened, and I'd be like, oh. It also jumped genres, it felt like, because like there was a point where it was like goblin-esque, and then there was a point where it was like not goblin-esque.
Well, very Carpenter-esque, I thought, several times. And, you know, very, or at least very It Follows Carpenter-esque.
Yes, it was very It Follows. Why don't you tell us, tell our audience what the film was this week.
Cub.
Welp.
I wish we could call it Welp.
I know. I like that title much better. Welp makes more sense.
That's what I wrote down. Welp. Dot. Dot. Dot.
But Cub fits with the theme of the movie.
Oh, certainly. I imagine that's just Cub in.
Well, you know
what language
do they call them? I would much rather have gone to Welp Scouts.
Well, you know that it's interesting that they use the word Welp that way, and I think it may be the whatever. Do we ever decide if it was French, Norwegian?
They spoke Belgian? French Not and Norwegian. Norwegian.
It was Belgian because they were Belgian because they were insulted by the French guys riding the go kart. He called them Flemish.
Right.
And see, they were Belgian, I guess.
See, I didn't know that, and there's a reason I didn't know that.
It was the part of the mystery of the film for Tyler.
I watched this movie without any subtitles, and I gotta say, I think I enjoyed it just as much as you did. I really like this movie.
Whelp is also a word that you use for like when you're like if you're a breeder, like when you raise your puppies, the bitch whelps them, which means to, you know, I don't really.
You wean them.
Yeah. So it's got a kind of a meaning there, but it's spelled Whelp.
Yeah.
That's our spelling of it.
Yeah. It wouldn't be the Flemish spelling.
The language is spoken are French and Dutch.
Okay. And the cover photo for a cub looks like a senior picture of this kid in his little tree mask.
I had kind of a geographical conundrum last night because I started to question whether what I knew. I don't know what countries are called what, I don't think. Like, because I started to ask myself, like, well, what are the Netherlands? I started thinking about, like, which countries, what are the Holland. Netherlands? Is it just Holland?
No, that's just the region. There's Holland, I believe, is just a region of it. The Netherlands are, like, the official.
But
thing.
What
Holland's
else?
Nothing official.
So is it just that, though?
Is what just that?
Holland and Belgium? Belgium?
Belgium is its own country?
But
I don't understand.
Aren't the Netherlands part of it?
So the Netherlands are its own country, and Holland is part of, is a region in the Netherlands. Just like we talk about Belgium is its own country, but then when you talk about when someone's Flemish that's a region of Belgium.
Wait, say that again.
Which part?
The Netherlands is a country.
That's the country.
I thought it was a region.
That's the country.
See, I know what
Holland
Tyler's
is
saying,
the region.
I thought the Netherlands, for a brief second, I thought the Netherlands also included Norway, Finland, and Sweden.
I don't know. This is
geography class at work.
Yes. This is where I'm stupid.
Yes, okay. It is confusing. And for the longest time, they just referred to it as Holland, and then it became the Netherlands like in the late 80s.
No.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it did, because I always heard Holland, the little Dutch shoes, the fingers in the dikes, and all that kind of stuff.
I still don't know. Like, I always thought the Netherlands was like
and
all
the bad
those
guys are all
the Hague is in the Netherlands.
Yes.
Which is a country.
In Holland.
Why is it called more than one thing, though?
Because it used to have a region.
We're American.
What? I think you're fucking with me at this point. Is that true?
The last part, which part?
The
Netherlands is the main constituent country in the Kingdom of the Netherlands. It is a small, densely populated country located in Western Europe with three island territories in the Caribbean.
What are they called? Oh, wait,
the European part of the Netherlands borders Germany to the east, Belgium to the south, and the North Sea to the northwest. The largest and most important cities in the Netherlands are Amsterdam, The Hague, and Rotterdam.
Okay. Where is it? It's next to Belgium?
Northern.
Is it? Where is it? So the Netherlands is a country.
It literally means lower countries. So it's like, just the lower countries.
I really hate
that. But that's because of sea level. Not because it's actually northern.
No, it's
lower.
Very
north.
It's down below Spain. No,
it's
below Spain.
France.
It borders Africa.
And then you
go
to
Belgium, lower countries.
And then you're in the Netherlands.
So, okay. I can't get over, and I'm an English person, I can't get over that it's called the Netherlands instead of the Netherland. I can get behind the Netherland. I can't get behind the Netherlands.
Twisting, turning through the Netherlands?
Yeah, twisting. I can't get behind the Netherlands.
But the main point is that they're Western Europe, and the bad guys are obviously Eastern European. You can tell by the tracksuits.
Those guys are French.
Aruba is part of the Netherlands.
Oh.
Aruba, Jamaica.
So the Hague is... So Holland is a part of the Netherlands.
Yeah.
But Holland isn't a country, it's a region?
Yeah, Holland is not its own country.
Now, what
but
about
they're,
the
you,
the,
hold on, hold like on. I have another question. Way. I have another question. So, Holland is a region. The people who are in Holland are Dutch. What are the people who are not part of Holland, Netherlands called?
Dutch.
They're all Dutch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're
confusing.
They're actually double Dutch.
People who live... So, wait. But, okay, but let me ask this... Okay, I have one more question, then we can talk about the movie. I've always wanted to know.
I think this is what plagued him during the movie when he couldn't understand anything that was going on.
Because I didn't know what they were saying, this is the kind of thing I was thinking about.
Are they speaking Dutch or is it Hollandish?
I like their sauce.
That would be Hollandaise. Yeah, that would be Hollandaise.
So the people who don't live in Holland are still called Dutch.
They live in the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm. All right. So maybe this would be the clarifying question. Is there a part of the Netherlands that is not also Holland?
Yes.
Why would they be called Dutch too?
Well, fun fact, apparently people who live in Holland are Dutch, but they also call themselves Hollanders.
This is the most confusing region.
I think it's Hollander.
Hollander.
I think they have a store in the mall.
There can be only one.
Oh. There is a Hollister, yes, but that has nothing to do with this. Don't confuse Tyler. Sure.
No,
don't confuse Tyler.
Okay, so...
I think we all learned something today.
I feel like I can be more... Tomorrow, I'll forget it. I'll tell my coworkers tomorrow, like, what it is we talked about, and I'll get it completely
Let's also
wrong.
Not forget that this is the confusing part to Tyler, and he didn't watch the film with subtitles.
I know.
And he's still confused just by the geography of where this movie took place.
I thought I knew. I thought I was like, all right, so they said Norwegian, and then people started speaking French, and I was like, that doesn't make any sense at all.
I think Europeans have a tendency to speak more than one language, though.
Well, that's also
what I think.
They
have that thing going on.
But I thought about that too, and so I thought, like, well, where is this movie taking place?
Imagine if every state around where you currently live spoke a different language, you'd probably have to speak several languages yourself.
Yeah,
because you're going to be going to those states. You're going to be going to those states pretty often.
Not really.
You know, and it's like, you know, it's kind of like.
I see that argument all the time. It's like, you know, well, we, you know, for Europeans, like a 100-mile trip is like three countries. For us, it's not even one state.
Right.
So, you know, it's just a different perspective of things of like, I always like when people say, we flew to the United States and we thought we'd go to New York and L.A. in a week. And we didn't realize how far away everything was.
Yeah,
let's just throw Disney World in there, too. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, you can drive the longitudinal height of England in like several hours. Everywhere is very like it's like the size of Georgia, the state, not the country. So.
Driving from straight from Los Angeles to Atlanta, Georgia, took me 3.5 days.
You probably did like the speed limit the whole way, right?
15-hour days of driving.
Well, the speed limit in Texas is like 110.
They just erase.
Only if you have a gun.
Well, get a gun.
I think it's even faster than that if you don't have a gun because you're getting the fuck out of Texas.
Right. No cub, guys.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about the geographical digression that.
No, I like. I think we should have a geography with Tyler session whenever we watch a European film.
I don't even know where the Netherlands is on the map.
This is set in Portugal. They speak Spanish. No, they speak Portuguese.
But it sounds so much
so
like
they're
Spanish.
Yeah,
it's
no,
on the same peninsula.
I thought they were speaking German for the first 10 minutes until I was like, hey, I think this movie's German. And you guys are like, no, it's you guys are also wrong because you are like Norwegian. And then I made a thing joke that no one got because I was like, they're Norwegian.
We got it. We just didn't acknowledge it.
Now, okay. I'm going to sit there and tell you, though, Tyler, all you missed out on were the tiniest subtitles someone has ever thought to type up for a movie.
It's like The Witcher 3.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. It's like you cannot watch this from a distance. It is on a giant TV. The Witcher 3's menus are still unreadable from across the room.
The premise of this film is that this is basically the Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, who go
Whelp
on
Scouts.
A retreat. And then they bully one kid, Sam, who at first I'm like, why are they bullying this kid? He's not that weird. I mean, this is not, it must be weird for Belgium.
We weren't given all the information about Sam.
We weren't.
No.
And then he runs into a father and his son who have booby-trapped the woods.
Were they father and son?
Or, I'm sorry, a whelp, a cub, this father.
Yeah, I think it's just another kid. I think he just takes in kids and trains them and then
yeah
they die and he changed another one.
We'll get to the. I'll get to this.
It's later. For me, this movie's. It's like it's Friday the 13th meets Jack Ketchum. Like that's what this movie is for me.
It's Wrong Turn in Europe.
Okay, fair.
That's what I thought.
Oh, I had a couple of them. I had the Truth.
Except better.
And
oh, I had 8 to 9.
The Truth meets Trigger Man, and I have Heavyweights meets Lord of the Flies.
What is Heavyweights?
Aww.
Oh, Heavyweights. Yeah. I get it. I thought you said. I was thinking two words. Heavy. W-A-I-T-S.
If you have not seen the movie Heavyweights, I suggest you run out and watch it now. It's possibly
you'll live as well if you haven't.
You haven't, but it is a hilarious film written and starring Ben Stiller and Judd Apatow may even be involved in it. I'm not sure, but it was it's a great kids camp movie. It's hilarious.
The Troop, Friday the 13th, Wrong Turn. Off season,
Camp Nowhere,
Wolf Creek.
I even got a little bit of a High Tension feel to it.
Yeah, I also thought about High Tension at the end, especially. I started to get a little confused with the narrative. Surprisingly,
reading what was going on.
What's weird is that I had a harder time figuring out what the movie was about when no one was talking. Like I seemed to follow it when people were talking. I was like, yeah, I know. I kind of get what they're saying. Specifics be damned.
Also,
go ahead.
I'm saying their accents. Is it just me, or when you hear that accent, do you automatically just think they're doing something wrong? Like they just that European accent. I'm always like, oh, they're up to no good.
The European accent.
Yeah,
even Tyler knows that's not correct.
Yeah, I don't know much about geography.
They said Western Europe.
That's a country. I know that.
It's like when they speak
the Netherlands.
When they speak African in a movie, I just know that they must be villains.
They're called Dutch, okay?
When they speak Dutch, I just know, like, man, they're close to Germany. I mean, they're doing something wrong. They're hiding.
They're selling tulips. I know it.
Yeah.
Fingers and dykes.
Yeah, I like the movie though. I gotta say, overall, I really liked it.
It's a beautiful film.
It's a really well-shot movie, that's for sure. Like, it's a really great-looking movie. And it pays homage to a lot of movies without feeling entirely redundant. However, one thing I gotta say is that... Oh, wait, no, that never mind. I was gonna say, one thing that bothered me early on is that, like, at one point, the Cubs spares one of the kids. And it actually still kind of makes sense, my point. Like, one of my problems with movies like this is that they unnecessarily spare people. And I find that really problematic in horror movies in general. Like, if they did it for the sake of artificial tension, it's a really bad thing to do in a movie. Like, how do you guys feel about stuff like that? I don't think that necessarily applies here. But generally in horror movies, that's what happens.
The worst thing that ever happened is when Michael Myers spells Busta Rhymes. Busta Rhymes. So we all know that. So
tension. Well, we keep getting that shot of the picture in that kid's notebook with the young
kid. Which they still never explain.
Right, but I kept wondering, like, is this...
Or did they, and we didn't see the subtitles for it. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
I saw them.
Go ahead, Brian.
Brian. No, I don't think that theory holds water.
Like, is this kid, like, possibly his... I liked that ambiguity that we didn't know what was happening. Yeah. I mean, we didn't know what was going on in Sam's life. We just knew that he had some psychological problems.
I didn't know that at all. I just thought he was the... I thought he was the hero the entire movie until there's a scene we'll get to that made me very confused.
The counselors have a discussion with each other about how he was... they were contacted by a woman who had told them about the psychological case of this kid, and that's why they took Sam in.
The counselors from the Jungle Book, Baloo, yes. And everything. Hey,
there are a lot of references. You have noticed that, like, the campground is Castle Rock.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Also,
Castle Rook.
The one, the police officer's name is Franju, who is the director of the films Judex and Eyes Without a Face.
Apparently, I did not notice this, but apparently the ringtone is the thing from Suspiria.
When that ringtone went off, I know that ringtone, and I couldn't tell if it was the soundtrack that they were just playing through the ringtone or if it was another horror film. So
gotcha.
I'm glad you said that. That was pretty. They did a lot of good references to horror stuff in the movie.
I mean, that'd still be... I mean, the references are fine. My knock on it is, and I liked it a lot too. I really enjoyed it. All things told. Honestly, probably narratively the most, I don't know, it's just so, it's too generic. Like, yeah, it just, it wears its influences too much on its sleeve. I mean, to the point where its influences are it, as opposed to being influenced by these things. Those influences just become the movie that it is. I mean, the scene where they stop for the girl is so out of an early Friday the 13th.
Right.
I mean, it's, but not to the point where it's like, oh, referencing Friday the 13th. It's like, no, you're just doing a scene from, you know, one of those movies.
It also reminds me that there's a whole, like, thinking of how those films affected us, there's a whole world out there that those films have also affected too. It's interesting that, you know, because it's an American film and all that kind of stuff, that it feels like it's such a...
Oh, no, Cub was an American film.
I meant Friday the 13th. Was it Norwegian?
Tyler would tell you it definitely was not an American film.
It's definitely not an American movie. I don't know where on the planet it is from, but it's not America.
but it's interesting to know that, you know, there are people, there are whole other cultures out there.
There are other countries other than America.
Yeah,
that's what we're saying.
There are other places on this planet that aren't America that have also been influenced by these horror films.
Yeah,
by Wrong Turn.
I'm okay with these sort of, like, I won't call them pastiches. I guess they're like, yeah, I guess they're kind of, I don't know what to call them, but like, I will accept them from other countries because we haven't seen like their take on it. I do like that this is Friday the 13th, but with the campers. I will say though that my biggest knock on this movie is that it was very, very deliberately paced, to the point that like scenes like the one where the cub just shows up for this like generic scare become problematic for me. Like, they needed that in order to stave off this idea that, like, well, this is just a movie, this is not really a horror movie. And so I'm okay with it, but I also just think there are some things about it that make me question, like, just this movie. I don't know, like,
your place in this world.
Yeah Well,
geographically,
there's a more generic, like, the idea, they do make a nice twist on the idea of the sort of outcast as hero thing, because that was my big, like, I wrote like a page on like, why do horror movies always eschew the gregarious kids in favor of the outcast, like, as the hero?
Those kids are assholes, man. Right. Those kids were assholes.
I don't know though, because I couldn't, like, I hear you.
Saying.
Those were the, I mean, what I don't understand is, where does everywhere in the movies get their counselors and scoutmasters from? Is everyone forced to do it? Because these are the worst people to do it I think I've ever seen. Especially Baloo.
I would never let my kid go with these people.
No.
I think they're just a little more lax in Deutschland.
No, this would be
Deutschland is Germany.
I know.
That's true.
That's the joke.
I think I'm just insecure now, so I'm like proving what I do know, Brian. That was not a knock against you.
You are geographically insecure?
Yes.
This would easily – I would have no problem with that exact same scenario happening in any American-made horror film. I mean, look at the awful counselors that Sleepaway Camp and Friday the 13th all had. I mean, they some of them make the counselors in Wet Hot American Summer look like –
responsible adults.
I almost
think of an example of a good counselor, and I have no idea who that would be.
Brought up Sleepaway Camp.
Christopher Lloyd from Camp Nowhere.
Oh, Marty. I almost, there was a, I'm getting a my next tattoo is like a horror homage tattoo. I almost told Mike, I was like, maybe we should put the penis from Sleepaway Camp on my arm, and I thought, no,
maybe not.
Rethink that.
I mean, hide
just,
it.
What you should get put on there is the a photorealistic tattoo of the face at the end of it.
Yeah.
That's the creepiest part.
And I have nightmares every morning.
You should get the penis from Sleepaway Camp tattooed on your penis.
Double penis.
Yeah. Instead of a lifelike picture of a penis, the words, the penis from Sleepaway Camp.
I was going to say, you should just get the...
In old English.
You should get the giant bush from that scene tattooed on your on your lower belly. Because that thing was magnificent and lush. It was It was huge.
You could get rid of your own real one and just have the, yeah. You know, the tattooed hair, like people like have tattooed eyebrows.
A 3D bush tattoo. Like just a very 3D photorealistic bush tattoo.
Put your glasses on before we do it. I guess it's in 3D.
Like 16 stone bush?
Yes.
Bush is 16 stone.
Just get a bunch of, don't even get a bush tattooed on your bush. Just get a bunch of bush references. Get Razorblade Suitcase, the second album, tattooed on your bush.
Or just
George
picture
W.
Of,
Bush?
Yeah, I was gonna say, that was my next joke. Just a picture of a photo, a portrait of Barbara Bush.
Good.
Oh.
Yeah. With her mouth open, so it's like,
that's gross.
I like to think that it's around us. It looks European. It's just going.
Yeah, that's what we're gonna do. Right, we text Mike now. Mike, new idea. Like I'll just post his response will be ... okay ...
Oh man, I love this movie even more for the conversation that it has spurred in us. No, I like it, but like, why do horror movies? I think the trend dates back to Psycho, where you have, I remembered her name last night, but forgot it. Janet Leigh's character, Marion Crane. I can't remember.
Ravenwood.
Yeah, Marion Ravenwood. No, where she's kind of the outcast who dies early because she's loose with money, not with her morals. And like, why, Drew, this is sort of directed at you because you're the resident expert. Like, why do you think that's such a big trope in horror movies? Why do you think the outcast is the hero? Is that just normal? Is that all movies?
I don't know how often they're the actual hero. I mean, if we look back at the trend more now, is the hero to be the, you know, the virginal, you know, the sweet virginal girl. I mean, I think when you're going to do a twist, it makes it a lot easier. I mean, yeah. I thought you were going, when you were going, where you were going Psycho was going to be Norman Bates, that side of it.
Oh, yeah.
With the main character being this guy who's, you know, who's just a little off. But I mean, but he's you know, he's not a bad guy. He's a nice guy. Not a bad guy. Like, Sam's not a bad kid. Sam had a bad, you know, gets a bad rap. Not a bad kid.
Just a bad weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's easier for your twist, like I said, later if you're going to do that. Otherwise, I mean, they try and make, it's all, I mean, a lot of times, I think maybe the horror, I mean, we know the horror genre is seen as being an outside of the, you know, an out there sort of audience, like the horror film. I mean, everyone has to defend themselves. And the big, I've seen on Twitter, the big thing nowadays is all these, everyone complaining because all these, you know, horror films, like Crimson Peak, shall we say, are being defended and talked about as, in, well, it's not really a horror film.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Why is that a bad thing? Why can you not be more than that?
Right. Yeah.
And so you know, so we're the people who like them are seen to be the outcasts, so you probably should go with them rather than the cool guy being your hero.
Yeah, I like that idea that, I mean, generally people who like horror movies are not, I mean, this podcast excluded, but generally, you know, horror fans are not necessarily, and horror filmmakers are not necessarily the end kids. And I think
I empathize with Sam when the movie was going on. I mean, I didn't sit there and look at the asshole kids and think, yeah, that's funny. That's funny what they did to him.
But like, it seems like it's so very rare in a horror movie for the hero. It's why movies like Evil Dead stick out. And I guess conversely, why movies like Hostel are so problematic is that if you have a gregarious hero, like something happens, like they don't do it well. And maybe that's why it's easy to have someone who doesn't talk very much, who is kind of shy, because they don't have to have very many lines. They just have to scream and emote later. And so like Hostel, I think, is an interesting twist, but it doesn't work because it's written by Eli Roth.
Well, they picked the wrong guy, as we've said before. I mean, Paxton is an awful hero that no one pulls for. And the other guy, Chris, is that right?
Yes. Something.
Paul, David, I don't know.
Who cares?
Generic white other guy. Maybe. Mark, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the guy that I was like the whole time. I was like, oh, yeah, that's, oh, they killed him.
Yeah, and that was such a stunt kill, though, too. Like, meant to, like, take the audience off its heels. But I don't know. Like, it just seems like with a movie like this, having someone who is I guess it wouldn't do to have a protagonist in this scenario who's gregarious because it ends up being a killer, spoiler, but in most movies that's the case. Is like it's usually one of the most dour or like least likable characters. Like, I don't know, maybe that's not true, but that's generally how I see it. Especially these days, that seems to be the case. Like, we had the stand-in, it, like, stand-in for writing a character is like, just have them be shy. And that's the only trait that we get. Whereas, like, Nancy from Nightmare on Elm Street, like, works because it's not just that she's shy. It's that, like, there are these other aspects to her character that make her more three-dimensional. Whereas, like, it just, I think that's why a lot of horror movies suck, is that they just, they just take one trait and hope that that will carry a movie because all they care about is the kills and the gore.
Do you think that
our baby Wookiee in the background?
Do you think that they go with this outcast kind of idea of his character because of the if it was a popular person or the, you know, much more liked character, then everyone would believe them when they told them the
maybe
dude, like, you know, if the crazy outcast kid tells you there's a killer, they're like, oh, shut the fuck up. But if it's the popular girl or the football guy who's like, dude, there's a killer, where is he?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It becomes, I mean, if you think about all the movies that try to buck the trend, like there's Friday the 13th, the remake, which didn't work because all the characters are kind of talkative, but even it had the sort of like, oh, she's kind of a little bit different, but she's hanging out with all these assholes. Like, narratively, it just doesn't work because it's generally like one kind of okay person with a bunch of assholes who are not great.
Also, having Jared Padalecki, who is as big as anyone who plays Jason, as, you know, one of the characters. I mean, you can't have someone who looks like they could probably physically intimidate Jason.
Yeah.
Because he's a big guy. I think in this one, though, I think it's interesting. I don't think it would have mattered who it was because it was kids versus adults in this. They weren't going to believe any of those little snot-nosed brats who told them that the made-up campfire story was real.
Kai.
Tyler didn't know that. He called him Cub earlier. Didn't know he had a name.
The other thing, I know. I have no idea. Like, you guys are saying, you could say any names. I'd be like, all right, sure.
Yawn.
Yeah, yawn sounds right. I mean,
Jasmidgen.
Baloo. Yeah. That's true. We didn't make that up. That sounds like the name we would have made up. But Baloo is the actual name.
Cuss words in here. It's funny that just like cuss words are just universal. Like fuck is fuck in whatever language you go to.
Yeah.
And even when she's screaming help me, even though it sounds like help me, help me.
There was also hello. I heard that word. That was, I think, the first word I recognized was hello. And I was like, oh, are they going to start speaking English? Is that why? I kept hoping that it was a movie that would have this weird shift where it didn't have subtitles at first because they'd eventually start speaking English and I wouldn't need them. And so when they said hello, there was a moment where I was like, oh,
my mother tongue.
So the other sort of fundamental question I have about this movie is that it's about kills. And so, like, when I was a kid, when I was younger, I killed a lot of people at a camp.
Well, we can't air this episode.
Mostly hookers.
No one can prove anything. When I was a kid,
Now we've got to turn you in because now we're like.
Statue of limitations.
No. It's like. Is it? It's attorney client privilege.
Statue of limitations.
No.
It's podcast.
Right.
Podcast audience confidentiality.
So when I was a kid, like, kills were the thing that everybody would cheer, like, yeah, that kill was, like, we used to have philosophical conversation about the kills in a movie. And I feel like that conversation has become moot in part because the movies take themselves more seriously and the kills only seem to be actually entertaining in movies where the movie doesn't.
Destination.
Yeah, where the movie doesn't take itself so seriously. Like, in a movie that is this self-serious, it's hard for the kills to be enthralling. Like, so they're not brutal enough to be like, ugh, but they're also not entertaining. So, like, how do you guys feel about that weird place we're in? Because, like, the beehive kill was pretty cool, but not because the movie's so serious. Like, it was kind of an over-the-top kill, but for a movie that's like, well, huh?
Yeah, you're right. That was an oddity of a kill, like, compared to the other ones. The other ones were all, like, traps and...
Yeah.
They were all traps. I mean, except for, like, I think those were fine, but those were, like, out of a different movie than, say, when he stabs the other guy in the eye.
Yeah. I don't know, like, I'm just talking about, I think I'm more, like, thinking about horror movies in general where like the more brutal the kill, the more like the less seriously the filmmakers take the film, and like the relationship of the filmmaker to the kill. Because like this movie, some of the kills were pretty brutal. Like I thought the tree on the legs, I thought that was a pretty amazing kill.
That was rough.
Like in retrospect, it's pretty great. But at the same time, like it's hard for me to get behind kills the way that I used to. Does that make any sense? Like kills are no longer awesome. And I guess I wonder if that's because of my age or that slasher movies are no longer the only way to get that sort of brutality. I don't know. Like, what do you guys think about that? Or is that like a, I don't know if that question makes any sense. Pure silence. I like it. I'll take it. I'll just, I don't know. I guess that's just something that I'll sit on for a while.
I don't know. I think I get what you're saying. I mean, I think the films you're talking about there, I mean, I don't think the early slasher movies were about the kills as much as the later ones. And that became the problem as it became, you know, as everyone knew exactly what was going to happen in those movies, the only thing you didn't know was what was going to be the cool kill that Jason was going to get kind
like,
of idea.
In lieu of narrative, there are kills.
Yeah. Cause you know exactly what's going to happen otherwise. Well, yeah. But I agree now these movies are, they're not being made as big a jokes as the latter slasher films were. Yeah. And so the kills are more brutal. I mean, they're also, these movies feel like they're going for more, I mean, realism to an extent.
Yeah.
To an extent.
Yeah. It just, I guess the kills, the question I'm asking too here may be like, what do these kills actually like represent? Like, what do they mean? Cause like they still kind of have to be there because it's a horror movie, but do they, if they're not there for entertainment value, if we're going for, what is this movie trying to say? Or like, what do modern kills say? I don't know. Maybe that's too hypothetical a question for a podcast. I don't know. Like, it just, like, I keep, the more we watch these movies, we watch a movie a week for the podcast, not counting like what we watch beyond that. And the more we watch them, the more I start to think about like, well, what is significant here? If it's not, like, especially a movie like this that we like it, but if the story is, like, why do we come to this movie? If the story is something that we've seen a lot before, like, what do we see in this movie? Just how it's shot? I don't know. Lots of questions. Just, I'm just throwing a lot out. I don't know.
I have an answer for that.
Shotgun.
That's a lot of thinking to have to do.
I mean, the thing is, I liked a lot of the things that the sources they were coming from, and I thought that they then, you know, they then are doing it well and entertaining enough. Like I don't see how these guys couldn't have read Off Season. I mean, Off Season is the one that has the treehouse sequence, right? Or is that Offspring? I can't remember.
No,
I think it was Off Season.
It's no. It's Offspring. I just read that one.
Okay, so with the treehouse, either way, I mean, I feel like
you're talking about the one where they hide on top of the treehouse and.
Yeah, when I saw that scene, I was like, this guy's got to have read these books. And those books are popular in, say, you know, European countries like Germany.
The Netherlands.
And things like that, you know.
Holland.
Of course it's popular in Germany. They love that kind of shit. They but like it also reminded me of Max's Treehouse from the Spike Jones's Where the Wild Things
mm-hmm.
Are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The big ball treehouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't know. Those are just kind of like, I think those are the kinds of questions that I want to start bringing up as the pod. I mean, maybe not because they have completely tanked tonight, but like those are the questions like, because there's only so many times we can do the podcast and see a movie and say like, oh, no, it's fine. I mean,
I think that's what all of our net episodes should be, just like 5 minutes of, yeah,
it's fine. I mean, it's not, I mean, some will like it, some won't. It has some good spots, has some bad spots. Or it's complete shit.
First act, second act, third act.
Yeah, third act falls apart. Let's do the definitive horrible podcast. Like, oh, I like the beginning. It seemed to go into a cool direction. Some of the kills were great in second act. The third act completely fell apart. What the fuck were they thinking?
Which I would say this movie did not do those things as much. I didn't like when the guy came back from being super burned. I was like, oh, really? Seriously?
I was dead. I wanted it to end.
Break Bad?
I wanted it to end the way that it was going to end. I will say though that the we've talked about the kills in this movie as being like, oh, it doesn't, they don't matter that much. But I have to say that the kills are kind of memorable, like the bee kill, the tree kill,
running over a tent full of campers.
That one, I was like, what?
Hey, but at least
the
Noah
dog,
camper, Noah the camper got out there.
All right, we have to
the
get to the dog.
The dog was the most upsetting part.
Also,
of the
yeah,
was
one we
of
have to get to there.
Dog, so that's fun.
Was one of those camper stabbing another one at some point?
No.
Like before the truck ran over, what was that kid doing?
Oh, he ripped the tent so they could escape, and okay. and Noah camper and the other camper got away.
Same thing too, the Noah camper.
Yeah. The tent thing almost happened to my
Dutch
brother
Noah.
The tent thing almost happened to my brother and my niece because we were having a party at my mom's, and my brother brought a tent, and my niece and someone was leaving the party and didn't realize that the tent was behind his truck and nearly backed over my niece in the tent.
You possibly don't set up your tent right behind a truck.
Yeah,
well, everyone was supposed to stay. That guy got in his truck and drove in the middle of the night when he shouldn't have.
Right, yeah.
It was supposed to be a safe space.
I imagine.
But also,
I agree with Drew. I was totally fine with the
I'm so glad Lona's on the podcast now, so there's going to be equal footing on matters of animals.
I had to stop the movie and just sit in the floor and cry for 10 minutes.
I cheered.
Hey guys,
you're a monster.
Shut you.
Hey, newsflash: they're gonna be about 1,000 more dogs made tomorrow.
That's not the point.
That dog wasn't nice though.
Yeah, the dog was a
That
gentle.
Dog what? Because I'd be an asshole too if someone was beating me to death.
I wasn't that's no, no, not it was why it was being an asshole. That's what it was defending itself. It's an asshole because it had an asshole owner who trained it to be an asshole.
So it's not his fault. That's right? Shithead. I guess we should just push him in front of these train tracks.
That's like saying
that maybe should be said.
I just love that I'm not the one who has to have this argument.
It's like saying the whole pit bull argument of
do not start being like pit bull. I will go get my pit bull and throw him at you. I will throw him at you and he will love you and then you'll feel bad.
Listen to reason. I'm talking about this dog in this case, which this dog is a bull terrier. A Staffordshire terrier.
Spuds McKenzie.
So
Rick Springfield's dog.
It was raised by an asshole owner, so the dog's an asshole. It's the same thing with pit bull, the pit bull argument. It's like, well, if you raise an animal to be an asshole, it's going to be an asshole. So
there's
you can change him. If someone else had taken the dog, yes, you can too. How many dogs have you owned in your life?
It all sounds like static. I will say that the problematic aspect here is that this dog was completely helpless.
He had no clue what was going on.
So I will say that this not only was the dog helpless, but this scene was put into the movie to show the sheer soullessness and brutality of that child in a way that in most films, killing another person would not. I think that's one of the interesting things about this movie. Up to this point, I thought this kid's going to be the hero, but then that happened. They killed this dog,
hero to me.
I thought they were going to take the step of the kid does this one weird thing and then we'll still end up being the hero. I didn't think at this point he would
redeem himself. He'll feel guilty for killing the dog. Yeah. He won't get bloodlust.
Well, you knew he was going to be the new cub.
I did not know that until later. I thought it was going to be kid against cub. I thought that was going to be the showdown. This brutality was showing they're of a like mind, but one will have the light link will have to kill the dark link to make a video game reference.
But I mean, these movies, I mean, that's the thing about these new horror movies, especially the ones from, especially the European ones as much as anything, is they're so super bleak. I mean, they don't end with anything good like that happening. And that's the thing. I hoped that would happen as well. I was like, oh, he's gonna pull off the mask, show her it's him, and then whirl around and stab that guy, right?
Yep.
And then what, pull her off of this giant, spike she's stuck on and somehow get her to... No, she's gonna die either way. He's gonna kill her. And it's these movies are just so... They are so bleak in that regard. And And I think it's an interesting statement, though, that like the way that you show that in a movie like this is you do something is that you do kill an animal, which people, yeah. which I think that's the weird thing. Like I don't get the anger that audiences sometimes get when that happens, when they are cheering on a person who, in a lot of times, they are assholes that are made to be in the movies, but not always. You get killed, but have no problem with that. It's just it is a weird thing that shows up in horror movies. Like I didn't find that death to be any more anything than any of the others.
Animals have a sense of defensivelessness. Like, even if you're killing, like,
so do
a
kids,
baby. But, yeah, but do they? Because kids can also be terrible. Human beings have so that capacity. No, I'm just saying, when you're looking at people have that capacity to be mean for the sheer sake of being mean. Dogs, even when they're mean, are generally not doing it for the sheer sake of being mean. They're doing it because they've been improperly trained or they're scared or something. People will just fuck with you just because. You never see, like, a dog gaslighting another dog. That's just not a thing that you
quote,
see.
Quote of the podcast.
I saw a dog curb stomp a dog.
No, you didn't. To be fair, I really only feel this way about dogs. If it was a bag of cats, I would have been like, kill them dead 100 hey, times over.
Yo, you leave cats alone.
Yeah, I wish I could, but I wish they were never near me. Yeah. But there's just dogs, like, they're man's best friend.
I think
and you're not being a good friend. You're not being a good friend when you beat them to death.
Oh, I agree with that. I mean,
that's decidedly bad ownership.
I also think that that's the thing. There weren't good people in this. And here's the thing: if that dog does survive, no one else does. So that dog's either going to be taken in by the awful people and trained to be even worse, or starved to death in the woods.
Why? It's got like 15 people to eat for like 3
right.
months,
and then it becomes a dog that's essentially, and then someone's going to. Someone else is going to come along and shoot him.
Or he'll do like some like onward, like he'll get like all like homeward bound and he'll walk for like 6 months through miles of snow and with his meet some friends and they'll, eat out of garbage cans.
Problem because they speak different languages in the different countries.
And so the dog will be like, am I in the Netherlands or Holland? I don't know where I am.
I won't say.
Nine.
I won't say that. Dogs and children are analogous in movies, but I will say that dogs and toddlers to like newborns, like I think that's the point at which in a film that's the construct that we've set up. I think that's just kind of the visceral reaction is that it's the degree of helplessness. I think dogs like toddlers who haven't sort of gained a moral compass, like seeing something hurt that doesn't understand. Like
exactly.
I think I would also place sort of mentally challenged. I don't know how many movies have that, but I think
the Great Santini. That's a horrifying sequence.
Yeah, it's awful. I don't remember that. Oh, what happens in the Great Santini?
Well, the one I'm talking about though is where the mentally challenged character in the movie sees a black guy and he gets He's not only gets, I can't remember exactly what happens to him, but these awful, racist, evil people come in and I think they end up killing him. And it's awful. And it's made worse because of his, condition as well.
And I think like in a movie, that's where the line is. Like I'm not making all of those things entirely analogous, but I think like in a movie construct, like children are different in a weird way. Like children who know things. Also, very few children die in movies, but I think if it's done well, it is the same sort of horror. But like, I can remember the moment where, say, a Serbian film sort of jumped from being a horror movie to being unsettling was the scene with the newborn baby. That was a scene where I said, like, even though there is all kinds of decrepit shit in there, I guess decrepit is not the word I use there, but like, insane, awful things. So I think dogs.
This old man on his cane looking around.
Decrepit.
I'll rape him.
Gross.
No, you won't, Grandpa. No, you won't.
I just think. I don't think dogs necessarily. Like, I'm not making the argument that dogs are more important than people, but in movies, sometimes they are portrayed that way because of what they represent. Like, I think if we're talking thematically and symbolically, dogs represent something that is more pure than humanity. Like, humanity is very dodgy, especially in horror movies. So, I think that's where it comes in. It's not that dogs are, like, superior to humans or anything. Like, I don't feel that way, but I think like in a movie construct, it's like way different. Lester, that's my only argument.
Lester is the one dog in a movie that should not have been killed. That was so sad.
Who's
Lester? Was killed. It's the dog that annoys the piss out of Annie when he's barking at Michael. He's trying to save her. And then Michael kills him because she lets him out. And she thinks he has a hot date when he makes that awful, I just had my neck broke noise. It's like, what does she think he's doing? This dog, I would argue the dog in Cub is no better than any of the kids in Cub who are all awful as well. Like, yes. I don't know who the good person in Cub is. Like, yeah. Honestly, it's Dutch Noah. Because he was the one who liked.
Yeah.
But Jasmine still does she sits there and betrays the kids by sitting there and giving into her baser instincts.
What does she do? What
she lets Baloo get down on her.
Oh.
Yeah. And then that's when Sam sees it, and then that leads Sam to get bitten by that mangy mongrel Zoltan.
Is that its name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Zoltan's the name of the
Adam Sandler character?
Also,
no, that's
Big.
Big, yeah.
Yeah, that's from Big.
At
yeah.
One counselor looks like an older Josh Baskin.
Yeah.
Not Baloo.
So
name Snake from Jungle Book. I'm just gonna call the other counselor that name. King Bathsheba.
I can't even think of what the snake was now.
Baloo and Bathsheba.
Sure, that was the panther.
Chevra.
Right, Chevra. I mean, I agree with you. Like, I don't know who the moral compass is in this movie, but like, maybe it's the viewer, because we're just witnessing. It's very, it's very, like, Lord of the Flies, where I think they're asshole kids, but they're not evil. They're just, like, they're kids who have bad leaders who are let off the leash a little too far. Do you know what I mean? Like, they look at nudie mags, and they are bullies, but they're not, as far as I can tell, because I didn't know of, I literally have no idea one word they said. But they're not. They didn't seem to be vile, just bullies.
Also,
but I see that as. I mean, that's the problem I have with bullies now. Like, I don't truck with that at all. And yeah. adults that encourage bullying in kids, I've never understood either. Like, I don't get that, where you don't see that as your role to sit there and say, hey, that's not how the world works. I mean, it might be, but you don't get to just do it because, you know. Someone allows you to.
Yeah, I just
they were encouraging them to. They encouraged them to, and then the adults were bullies as well.
Yeah, and I think that's like, part of what it is. Like, but I don't know that they're like, I see that as a problem of, like, with kids that age, I see it as a problem of supervision, and not that these were all sort of Damians. You know what I mean? Like, so
well,
I think
like
if they
the
if
troop,
they
the kids in the troop go bad pretty quickly.
If they had had Atticus Finch there, they might have been a little racist. But they they might have been a little racist, but they probably still would have done the right thing, ultimately. Like, I think it's a part of, like, if I, the 13-year-old me, if I went off on some scout troop where, like, people were letting me do whatever I want, I probably would have been a little zany, crazy myself. I don't know.
I myself would not have been.
Yeah.
Go set a watch, man.
Well so, played.
But, yeah, I liked it. I didn't like the ending. I still have to say I liked the twist just fine, because I didn't quite see it coming, perhaps because I was just like trying to glean any information I could at all from it, but I still think the movie as a whole is pretty good. I just think that it suffers from like unkillable antagonist syndrome. Like, because only does dude survive the car, like, I was hoping that it would be like he dies there. And then they have the battle at the end, the two kids. Not only does he survive far longer than he should have, but so did the kid. Like, the kid gets thrown into the pit, and then he gets thrown into the pit, and then they stab, and then he gets out. And then, like, it's just too much of that. Like, where are the days when it's like, what is it with a horror filmmaker being afraid of finality? Like, I think that's such a weird cop-out. Like, we need to do this several times before it's ending.
Well, they had a whole lot. They had like 15 more minutes. I mean, at the point they killed the guy, they blew that guy up, they still have like 15 more minutes.
Yeah, it was like an hour and six. I remember.
So they had to do that.
I specifically remember writing it down. I was like, at an hour and 6 minutes, this movie gets awesome. Because that's when he runs over all the kids in the. I was like, this movie's going where no movie goes. And that's part of why I liked that whole sequence. Why couldn't it? I don't know. It just seems like it could have ended somewhere around there.
See, I saw the ending. I didn't see it as much of a twist. I see it as a positive ending because Sam ends up where he needs to. But he ends up in a good home. That guy's going to raise him the way Sam needs to be raised. He's going to be raised as Kai in his little Jason spider hole down there. And, you know.
Do we ever
remake Jason Spider Hole, by the way?
Do we ever if this filmmaker made a Friday the 13th, I would get behind it.
Oh, sure.
Do we ever figure out what the significance of the mask was?
No.
Narratively? Okay, I didn't know if
they didn't drop us any hints that you missed.
I was just wondering if they had a discussion about, you know, a campfire discussion about a kid in a mask and what it represents.
You might have missed, and this is might be important to you. When they drove through Chernobyl, that was the old bus factory, and it had shut down. And that field that they were in, the one in the woods, a fat officer guy told them that a lot of people had hung themselves in those trees, including the parents of the go-kart French guys who were, I thought, the biggest assholes in the movie. They ended up not being too bad, honestly.
So, wait a second.
In comparison.
Are these things true that you said?
They actually are.
Wait, so Chernobyl?
Oh, no, I was just saying that's what that place looked like.
Oh.
That was just the abandoned bus factory.
I was like, all right, I don't know where the Netherlands is, but I fucking know that Chernobyl's not in Belgium.
No, it just looks
Do
like
you?
I probably not. I thought it was way further than, it's Pripyat, right?
Yeah, but that's right on the cusp of Belgium.
And no, it's not.
It's North Holland.
So they're still
it's
Dutch.
Scandinavia.
Oh, God damn it. All right. I need to go.
The rest of that was true. I was at the bus factory and the fat officer guy. And he was so perfectly fat, too, for that role. Like, it was one of those things where, like they got just the right small size shirt to put on him to accentuate his weight and then put him on the tiny bike to play him for every
the
sort
European
of job
fat stereotype. Well, how did he die? I forgot how he died. Yeah.
We never saw. He just got snatched. He takes a wrong turn because they put the the logs in the way. Because he was on that bike and couldn't just go around the logs to go. Does he even know where that goes? Like, he's the guy who should know that, right?
Yeah, he should.
I didn't understand.
He's obviously been eating whatever the equivalent of a Belgian Twinkie is.
A waffle? A waffle?
Yes. It's just waffles all day.
Waffles? That's the only thing. That's what I got. Well, guys, I think I need to go read a geography book. I'll report back next week with everything I can find out about the Netherlands.
Oh, but we're going to Asia next week, so sorry.
Yes. Well, I mean, I tried.
and watch Cub. It's good.
I think it's good.
Yeah, I liked it.
I liked it. Yeah.
Make sure you turn the subtitles on.
Yeah.
Don't be a Tyler.
Have subtitles.
Hopefully. I think it's a perfectly reasonable alternative to a Friday the 13th movie. Like, it satiates that same kind of desire.
If you want to watch kids be brutal to each other, like Lord of the Flies style, it's good.
Yeah. And, I mean, if you like The Troop, this is the closest movie version we've got right now. So.
I really want to see a Troop movie.
I do too. That book's fucking great.
I want to see E.R. Roth do it.
Nope.
Oh. I don't want to see him do anything again.
That was me trolling you.
Trooping you.
Troop
me up. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Drew.
I'm Lona.
And we'll talk to you next time on The Horrible Podcast.
Holland. Dutch. Netherlands.
Lesser Antilles.
All the same. All the same.
God damn it. That was a fun episode.